Hi everyone, and welcome back to the fifth video for the Basic Bible Study course. In this section, we'll talk about the devotional method of Bible reading, as we mentioned in the previous section. As I said, most of this course is about studying the Bible carefully, but this section is aiming to help you read more generally as part of your steady diet Bible reading, and more specifically, this section will help you to draw closer to the Lord through your regular devotional Bible reading. In the previous section, we defined devotional reading in contrast to Bible study. The Bible's the same, but these two ways of reading differ mostly in the way that we read and what we try to get out of it. Bible study concentrates mostly on the intellect and learning the truth, but the devotional method of reading concentrates more on all of our life and responding to the truth. Now, devotional is done in coordination with prayer and other devotional activities. But I mentioned, all our ways of Bible reading should come together. Let's start by looking at the purpose for devotional reading in the Bible. The goal of regular Bible reading is life change. As we hear God's word and interact with God, our lives are changed for the better. In a few ways that I want to mention. First, we experience a changed mind. Our worldview changes from a self-centered, self-focused approach to life to one that is God-centered and God-focused. We begin to see the world and our purposes within it from God's eternal viewpoint, not just from our finite, sinful viewpoint. Don't ask God to be a part of what you're doing. Rather, ask to be a part of what God is doing. See, as we read the Bible devotionally, our minds are progressively cleansed from the world's way of seeing life as we reject its morality and its standards in favor of God's standards. We can see all of life from the standpoint of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is of first importance. Because the primary human problem is the broken relationship with God because of sin. And that is the responsibility of every person. That's my fault. So we cannot shift the blame to society or genetics or our parents or anything. And this is an ongoing problem because we consistently exalt ourselves to the functional status of autonomous gods. That is, I want to be boss of my own life. And so we reject God's rule. Therefore, consistent repentance and application of the redemption that Christ accomplished is necessary to counter this constant rejection of God's lordship and our regular idolatry. The only solution to this is the gracious redemption of God, which comes to climax in the cross of Christ. That is, we cannot save ourselves. And the salvation accomplished by Christ is applied in our life by the Holy Spirit, decisively in the new birth, and then it's applied every day to all of our life as we walk in the power of His Spirit, because we cannot do it on our own. And the destiny of God's redeemed people is eternal fellowship with God. And we cannot be satisfied by anything else. But second, we experience changed goals and changed purpose. Our life purpose is changed from self-fulfillment and self-glorification to knowing and glorifying Christ. Our purpose is changed from serving ourselves to serving Christ and serving others. We begin to delight in experiencing the excellence of Christ as He is in Himself and not just in what He can do for us. That is, we see more and more that Jesus is better than anything else, and we want to know Him more than we want anything else. And we can experience a changed motivation and changed love. Our primary motivation will be a desire for Christ above all earthly things, which comes from a new heart and a new spirit given by God. That means we won't live in fear, but we'll live in gratitude, forsaking everything else for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We'll no longer live lives of legalism or sinful indulgence, but we will increasingly live lives of zeal and obedience characterized by grace and love. And I briefly want to mention the promise of devotional Bible reading. That is, the promise that God has made, which applies to us when we read the Bible devotionally. And the promise of devotional reading is simply that when we seek God, he will make himself known to us. God promised that when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. When we seek to work out our salvation, he will be working in us. We go to God by reading the Bible in the sure hope that he will meet with us. That doesn't mean he'll do it in the way we expect or the way we want, but God will keep his promise nonetheless. And that brings us to the power of devotional Bible reading, and that power is God himself. The reason we do devotional Bible reading is to meet with God and be plugged into his life and power. Devotional practices, that they are not an admission price that we have to pay for God's blessing and fellowship. See, we don't do devotions to earn or somehow turn on God's activity in our life. Rather, by faith, we do devotions to put ourselves in a place to best receive and experience God's activity and blessing through the means that he has promised to use. I think of it that the devotional Bible reading is not like we turn on the faucet of God's activity and blessing, but it's like we use these things to put our mouth under the faucet that is already running. Bible reading and prayer have been likened to eating food and breathing, respectively. Just like we cannot survive and function without regular intake of food and oxygen, our spiritual life will become powerless and dead without regular resupply of God's presence and revelation. Devotions are our daily spiritual sustenance of God's truth and interaction with God through meditative prayer. Now, having said this, the secondary power of devotions is that it harnesses the power of good habits and positive reinforcement of community. We all know the power of bad habits and negative peer pressure to influence us towards things that we don't really want to do. But that same kind of power is at work for good once we form a pattern in our lives of those things that we want to do, and we surround ourselves with people who encourage us and who will go with us in what is right. See, once the momentum of regular devotional reading is set in our lives, it will be a source of strength throughout our lives. It'll become a habit and a steady diet. In addition, when we're surrounded by like-minded people in pursuit of God, we can mutually encourage one another and protect each other from deception and apathy. So how do we go about reading the Bible devotionally? What does it entail? Now, there are a number of ways to do it, and I definitely want to encourage you to find what works best for you. It's not my way or the highway, but I would like to offer you a few guidelines to help get you started. And I do believe this pattern that I'm going to give you is extremely helpful because it's organized and it's intentional, and it tries to conform to the way that God typically works. And I summarize it with the acronym PRMAP. You can think of it as your map to a personal relationship with God. Yeah, I know that's corny, but it'll help you remember. And besides, I couldn't think of anything better. The first P stands for prayer. Start with a simple, short prayer asking God to reveal himself and to change us through devotions. He is the ultimate author of the Bible, and he can illuminate for our sakes. So we ask him to open our ears and hearts so that we can fully receive what he's already given in his word. And it can be short and sweet, something like, God, please help me to know you more through this time. Please reveal yourself to me and work in my life through it. Then the R stands for read the Bible. Simple enough, but I'd like to elaborate with a few suggestions. First is the question of what to read. You know, what part of the Bible? I strongly suggest you should read regularly according to a systematic plan. Remember, your Bible reading should be a steady diet. Which plan you use or the amount of the Bible that you read, that's not as important as that you regularly read and that you read every part of the Bible, not just your favorite parts. So make sure whatever reading plan you use, it takes you through the entire Bible at some point. Now, on the course website, I have posted a very good reading schedule to get you started if you need a plan. There are many Bible reading plans. Some are better than others. But this calendar that I posted originally goes back to Robert Murray McChane. And it lists 4 Bible chapters for every day. And if you keep this schedule, it'll take you through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice every year if you read all 4 chapters. Now, you might choose to read, you know, 2 of the 4 chapters every day in the first year and then the alternate 2 chapters the following year. Or you can spread it out over 4 years if that speed works best for you. Again, find what works best for you. Some people will benefit by reading larger blocks to get the broader scope of Scripture. And those people should read every passage scheduled for the day. But some people will benefit more by reading smaller portions with more concentration. And those people should read fewer chapters without any shame about doing so. Choose what fits best where you are in your walk with God. Remember, the purpose of reading the Bible devotionally is not to finish your reading schedule and check off that you've completed each day's reading on some chart. The purpose is to know God. So make sure your devotions are serving you for that purpose. You're not a slave to your devotions. You're not a slave to some calendar. So beware of that kind of legalistic attitude about devotional Bible reading. You don't have to read your Bible. You get to read your Bible. Second, let's talk about how to read. Read in a biblically responsible manner. Remember and practice all the stuff that you're learning in this course. Be very wary of this is what I get out of it kind of attitude to the Bible reading. Set aside your own issues, put aside your own agendas and questions, and try to hear what the authors were saying to the original readers or hearers. Read with an open mind and open heart to hear what God wanted to say to them, because that's God's word to you. Read each passage in its larger context and beware of importing your own ideas into the Bible. And just a few suggestions. Here's some general things to look for in your devotional reading. First, notice who God is. What are his characteristics, his nature, his personality? Second, notice what God has done. What are his works? How has he dealt with his people? Notice how God acts, how God responds to a variety of situations. That is what the Bible calls the ways of God. And notice what God wants from us. What does he require? What does he want us to do? What does he want us to think? And notice why God wants from us. That is, why should we respond and obey? What is our motivation? The Bible actually talks a lot about the reasons for us to do what we should do. And notice how God is working in and through us. That is, what can we expect from God in our own lives? And how should we expect him to be working? And then finally, notice, what is God up to? Get the big picture story of his plan for all of history and his goal, which all of the universe will finally bring to. And then start to think about, what is our part in that? And then the M in PR Map stands for meditate on Scripture. Now, when I say meditate, I don't mean, you know, crossing your legs and chanting or trying to let your mind go blank. Actually, just the opposite of that. Let your mind go into overdrive as you think deeply about what you're reading. So as you are reading, or maybe after you're reading, pause and think about what you've just read. Process through in your mind what it means and the intended impact of the truth of what you've read. Take a moment to let it sink in, to capture your will, your emotions, your imagination. Wrestle through the implications of what you've read. Why is it important? How has my world changed because of what I've just learned? Allow God to give you insight as you kind of mentally chew on what you've learned. And as you have questions about the text, search them out until you're satisfied you know the meaning of the Bible passage. And if you get stuck, feel free to research or ask questions of others. That is, think about the Bible passage until you grasp the significance. And then the A stands for apply the Scripture to yourself. Connect what you've read with your own life. What impact does it make in the way that you think and live? How does it change your mind? What truth do you need to believe? What falsehood do you need to stop believing? How does it change your actions? What do you need to do or stop doing? How does it help you make decisions? What life direction does it give you? That is, allow yourself to think through application, first in general terms, about how you're going to apply this truth in a variety of situations over time, but also try to force yourself to think specifically of ways that God might want you to apply the truth immediately, that very day. Form a specific action plan to carry out whatever application that is. And you should beware of legalism at this point as well. See, the Bible is not just a set of rules to obey. There are many rules that we do need to obey. But the Bible is primarily the good news of the salvation accomplished by Christ. That means that the primary application for every Bible passage is somehow to grow in trusting Jesus and what he has done on our behalf, and to grow in our love for the Lord as a result. Then, from that standpoint of faith in Christ's finished work, we do respond in many ways to live out what God has already provided for us and in us. We live in obedience to God's commands, even those commands that seem difficult or unpleasant, because we love God and want to please him, and because we trust our loving God because of all that he's done for us. We trust that even these unpleasant activities will bring us our greatest benefit ultimately in the long run, because we trust what he says, because he's proven himself trustworthy. And then the last P stands for prayer. Yes, I know prayer was the first P as well. But the second prayer is different. It is a prayer in response to what you've just read. So at the end of the process, pray again, and probably at more length, based on what you've learned from your Bible reading and meditation. That is, express your thanks. Express your praise to God in response to what you've experienced in your devotional reading time. Ask him for strength, for wisdom, for discernment to complete the tasks that you've planned in your application of what you've learned. Ask for God's provision and His providence to enable you to live out what He's called you to do. Ask that He would solidify that truth in your heart and life. Pray that His cosmic purposes would be advanced according to the truth that you've learned. That is, pray in whatever way is an appropriate response to the Bible passages that you've read. Okay? That is the PR map, and I hope that you find it helpful for your devotional Bible reading. But before we move on, I do want to mention two optional steps which you might find helpful. First is writing. Some people find it helpful to keep a written record of their devotions as a way to organize their thoughts and also to have a record of what God has been speaking through His Word that you can go back to later. If you find this helpful, go for it. But if you find writing to be a distraction or to not be helpful, don't worry about it. Don't do it. In any case, keep clear that the purpose of devotions is not to fill a journal, but it's to know God. This is not a writing assignment. And also, if you do journal, be cautious against the subtle temptation to believe that the content of your journal is God's word to you more than the scriptures themselves are. Your journal musings are never God's word. They're only your response to God's word. Don't get the two confused. But then the second optional activity is sharing with others. You can do devotional Bible reading in a group. And I recommend doing this if you can. By the way, one of the best places to do this is family. Parents, do family devotions with your children. It'll do so much good for your family. But if you do so, you can spend a time where you share what you've experienced in your devotional Bible reading with the others. Tell one another in a small group what you've learned and how it is working in your life. Correct and encourage one another in Christian charity. Encourage, keep one another accountable in Christian love. Celebrate with one another as you hear from God and you're changed. Pray with and pray for one another in response to God's revelation and grace. Okay? This then is some of the activities of devotional Bible reading. And if you habitually do these things well, you can't help but meet with God and be changed for the better by the regular encounter with Him. So now let's review. The process for devotional Bible reading, which you've learned, is PR map. Prayer for God's help in your reading. Reading the Bible. Meditating on the Bible truth. Applying the Bible truth. And praying in response to the Bible truth. And the overarching purpose for devotional Bible reading is to meet with God and be changed by Him. Now, as you've learned in previous sections, devotional reading should go hand in hand with a deeper Bible study and grow together more and more. Now, in the next section, we will look at a methodical study of the Bible. Thanks for watching.